Blog Talk Radio.
The Second Epistle General of Peter. 2 Peter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen, amen, and amen. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and as you can tell, Ms. Barb, I'd like to welcome to the program this morning. It is Saturday, the 29th of September, 2018. We pray that all is well with you and your family. Amen. Well, today, we're continue discussing who we are in God, knowing who we are in God. And we're going to talk about today that God has known us. We are known by God as I know God. But first, we want to share some announcements of our upcoming Man Up event from the Coalition of Men's Ministries. The Man Up, Strength and Submission. It's going to be we are going to be gathering on Saturday, October the 20th, 2018, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in 6716 General Ritchie Highway in Glen Burnie, Maryland. You can call us at 443-591-3504 or email us at rejoicetv@gmail.com. We can get you the link for registration on our PayPal account. You can also go to Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page to see the link there for the upcoming event. And our participating ministries for this gathering is going to be Pastor Alexander Butler from Perfect Order Church in Baltimore, Pastor Arthur Thompson from Living Waters Ministry in D.C., Apostle Etta Banks from New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders in Baltimore, Maryland, and also Pastor George Sharps at Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship. And our men are coming together to gather, to spend time together in instruction, fellowship, and hopefully and gain and encourage one another through those things, through the test, what it means to be a man of God and overcome some of the struggles and understanding that we are in, that our strength comes in our submission. So I invite you to join us, reach out to us, be part of the teaching and the fellowship. Also, you'll be giving a $20 donation. It will be covering the lunch and also our resources and tools boxes. We send every man home with some tools that he can make tune-up and adjustments on his relationship with God, relationship with his family, and relationship in the church. Amen. So again, that is on Saturday, October the 20th, 2018, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We encourage you to come out and fellowship and join us. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, I keep saying that. And also, for Issues Christian Men's Talk, reason I keep saying, because we are live every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And we discuss some of the issues that men deal with as men of God, serving in our families, serving in our homes, serving in the community, serving in the church, and just being a light, salt and light in the community. But yet, even us, even men of God, have to deal with some of the things that we need to get worked through from our past, our presence, the challenges we have, still that God has loved us and we have sacrificed and gave ourselves to him to be his disciples, but yet we still have to deal with the things of the flesh and things of this world. And we discuss ways that we can overcome those challenges in life, those temptations, and apply the word of God to our life that we might be able to stand before him and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So again, today, real quick, as always here at Man Up, Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Man Up, because we like to share the gospel. Because the gospel message, a lot of people don't know what it means to be a Christian. They don't understand the gospel message, the reason for the gospel, why Christ died. And so today, I just wanted to share real quick, and so that we can have a quick understanding, and encourage you. You can always call in. You can always call in at 646-668-2636. You press 1 on your keypad, and you can join us. And if you're listening on the website at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking time out of your morning to listen in. And hopefully you'll hear something that will encourage you and strengthen you. So the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel begins with God loves you. God hates sin. Even if you're a good person, you have not lived a perfect life, nor has anyone else. Your sin has separated you from God. Your payment for sin is death in hell. But there is good news, the gospel. A perfect substitute can make your payment. And God loves you so much that he gave Jesus as your substitute. And through his death, you can have life eternal. And by his resurrection, death is defeated. The gift is free. You could never deserve it. And just by accepting this gift, your sins will be forgiven and forgotten, and you'll be reconciled to God and live with him forever in heaven. And that's the gospel. That's what the church is about. That's what Christ died about. I call that the cliff notes of what Scripture teaches. And those basic principles and understanding and knowledge of who he is all you need to know to accept him as Lord and Savior and accept the perfect gift that God has given in his son. By faith, you believe that Jesus died for your sins. And through that, you love him and you live for him and you become his disciple. Amen. And all you have to do after, all is required of you after that is tell someone. Once you are secure in your faith and knowledge of who Jesus is, tell someone else who Jesus is. That's all we're called to do. That's all the apostles did. That's what Scripture is for, to teach us, to give us deeper understanding. And again, if you called in at 646-668-2636 and you have any questions or any questions about the gospel or anything that we talk about here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, I encourage you to press one on your keypad and join in with us. Also, you can send us a message on Facebook, inbox us, at Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. You can inbox us questions there and we will respond to you. Amen? Amen. Well, today we're going to be talking about I am a man known by God as I know him. You and I are men known by God as I know him. And what we're going to talk about today is that God loves us. You know, we have to understand what that means, that God loves us. God loves us like a father. He loves us. He loved us before the foundation of the word, because he loved us, he knows us, he cared for us, and he predestined who would be his children, who we accept, who we adopt. And we have to understand he's been known by us. Now, a lot of us have not been raised in the church, in Christianity, to know God, to know Jesus. We might have went to church. Some of us may have went to church, you know, Easter and Christmas and funerals and weddings and whatever. But God knew all that thing, knew all of that would take us to get to him. The things that we went through in our lives for the rest of us. That understand that God knew exactly where you were, what you was going through, no matter what you have done. This is what I always like to tell brothers. No matter where you come from or what you've done, God has a purpose and plan for our lives. And he always knew us. Everyone wasn't meant to be raised in a Christian family or a Holy Ghost-filled family or a family who even knew Christ. You know, those are not the prerequisites. The prerequisites is God's going to use you because he knew you from the foundation of the world and he had a plan from your life. But when you was a baby born to your mother and father, there's a purpose, there's a plan. God knew us, and we have to understand that. Because sometimes I believe as men, as brothers who were not necessarily raised in the church, we think God can't use us. We think we got to be like the pastor, the elder, the deacon, or any other Christian brother, religious brother. You know, you think you have to be like him to be used by God, or God can't use you because you don't have the hookup, you don't have the pedigree, you don't know as much as the other brother, and that's not true because God can use anybody for his purposes. Because again, I always say here, it's just Christian Men's Talk, and I encourage brothers at the Man Up events. God saved you right where you are, right when he reached you, right when you begin to believe, to use you to reach someone else, to reach another person. There's a life out there, there's a soul that's only going to be saved and come to the knowledge of him when your lives intersect. And if you are a man of God, if you are on purpose, and if you are fulfilling what God is, why God created you, you're going to share that knowledge of Christ with someone. It could be casually, it could be an evangelism effort. Because again, everyone is not going to hear the gospel from the pastors and preachers and deacons. We know you have great men of God on TV. We have great men of God on internet and radio. But you know, sometimes it's not everybody's hearing everything. And then sometimes people don't preach to those who are unknowledgeable and unknowing. Sometimes we get to the point where we are preaching to ourselves, and we in the body of Christ, we're trying to see who's more spiritual and more knowledgeable. But yet we lose a whole bunch of folk who don't speak what I used to call, a pastor told me a long time ago, speaking Christianese, and we lose the lost. We lose the unknowing, the unbeliever, because we have a secret special language we talk about, and that means nothing to anybody else. But anyway, let me get back on point here. God, we have been known and cared about, and he has known and cared about us our whole entire lives. I don't care, no matter what you've been through. He's a liar, cheater, fornicator, murderer, criminal, jail time. All the way back when you played hooky from school, you stole candy at the candy store, whatever. God knew you. God knew you. He knew right where you was. He knew right what you was going through. No matter who your family was, who your parents was, if you didn't know your mother, didn't know your father, if you were whatever, foster care, adopted, whatever you've been through, you know, God knew. But that he knew that that was going to be a purpose for your life. And there's some things that you had to go through that he could use you later down the road. That's why we can't always be discouraged by the current circumstance, why we have to be able to press on and be faithful to a thing, even when you come to Christ. You know, we come to Christ and sometimes we get that false, that false teaching. They think everything's going to be all right. It's all going to get better. It's not necessarily it's going to get better. Our lives are our lives and the things we have to endure through our lives. But when we come to Christ, we have a strength. We have a foundation, we have a faith that we can stand in the midst of the tests and trials. And what it does, it builds our Christian character, that we can respond to life. We can deal with life through the eyes of God, through his word. We make our decisions based on scripture as we study and get to know him, because he's known us. But now are we getting to know him so that we know to make the right choices when it comes to family, when it comes to job, when it comes to all of the big decisions and challenges. How we handle our finances, how we handle our homes, how we handle our children, how we handle our relationships, our relationships we're in, relationships we should be out of, the people around us, how we are, what kind of church person, what kind of church or person of fellowship we are. I won't say church because we are the church, but in our local fellowships, what are we doing in our local fellowships to serve God? Are we surrendering? Are we living sacrificial lives as Scripture teaches us? Are we loving one another? And all these are the things that we do that the Bible teaches us as we shape and we molded the character of men who believe God. So he's known us. He's known us from the beginning of time. So we have to be on point to be able to seek out and fulfill, again, the purpose and plan that God has had us, because, again, he's predestined us. If you're listening to me now and you've given your life to Christ and you confess to be a Christian, God knew. He also knows those around you who have not confessed to be Christian. He also knows those around you who are superficial Christians. He also knows those around you who are babes in Christ, who are going to grow, that he's going to use them down the road. But do we have a loving and compassion for those? Do we encourage each other? Do we hold each other accountable? This is what the fellowship is about. This is what gathering together weekly or twice a week or however times you meet and build relationships with folks. This is what we're called to do as men of God, to encourage other men. That's the whole point of the Man Up, the whole point of Issues Christian Men's Talk, opportunity to come together, encourage one another, continue to press. Because we never know who God's going to use or how he's going to use us. You know, and the thing we always talk about when brothers get together, everybody's not necessarily called to start another, you know, get a fellowship with their name on it. Let's put it that way. I'll be nice about it right now. But, you know, it's sometimes we have to stand behind the man of vision that we are with. You know, when I first got saved, I'll share this real quick and then we'll move on. But when I first got saved, I met a brother, a man. He was an elder. He was an older man at the time. I think I was in my 30s. He was about in his 70s. And he was a deacon of a church. And he's always been a deacon of a church. And he was faithful to the ministry. He was faithful to his role. He didn't, when I talked to him, he was faithful to being a deacon. Because he talked about being a pastor. He's seen pastors come and go. I mean, not come and go, but, you know, when you're part of a ministry, pastors, you know, retire or whatever. But he was faithful to that, and he's seen a lot of people come through the body of Christ, be part of the church, leave the church. And he just thought that he was faithful to serve that thing, to serve the vision of the ministry. And I think that's what a lot of us have to be given first. Can we serve? Can we come under submission to someone else and fulfill the vision? Because, again, it's about maturity. It's really about maturity, because only immature and selfish think they have to have their own, and their way is the only way, and they have to get their thing, and they have to be made known and popular. But, again, that's another session. That's why I invite you to come out and join us at Strength Under Submission, Man Up Gathering, to be part of the discussion. This is some of the things we're going to talk about, our responsibility as men in the church, our responsibility that we gain our strength and our submission, always about us being in that particular upfront out role. There's a lot of things that have to be done, and God uses a lot of men. If we look at Scripture again, go back to Scripture. We're not going to talk about nobody. We're going to talk about what the Word of God has said about the men that God used, that they were under submission to him and the Holy Spirit to do what God called them to do, to go where he told them to go, to do, to speak. All that was under the submission. So we can't be under submission to God through our leaders, through our pastors, through the elders, through the ministry, and follow the vision and mission, then what good are we? I mean, what are we? We do it all the time, and my thing about it is, I'm going to say this again, I'm going to move on, but my thing about it is, every man is submissive to his job, to what he does, follows the rules, the regulations, the policies, and procedures. But when it comes to the body of Christ, everybody thinks they have a new revelation, a new vision, and something. And to me, it just seems like sometimes people just want their name on it. They're not really serving people, not looking to edify God or looking to edify the body or show or give God the glory. But that's a whole other discussion. And these are some of the things we're going to talk about at Man Up, Strength and Submission. So first, let me go to a scripture real quick. Let me get to the word here. To let you know that what we're talking about and what I'm trying to get across here today, tonight, this morning, to be able to encourage someone, to be encouraged again in what we're talking about. Let's go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 29. And the Word of God says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So he foreknew us. He foreknew our conversion. He foreknew that we might be firstborn. Some of us in our bloodlines, we are like Abraham. We were called out from whatever, and we were called into the light to know. So now every generation after us will be blessed because we knew Jesus. We knew Christ And we pass it down. Pass it down to our wives, to our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, nephews, cousins, uncles. Once God called us, then we become a salt and light. We become a light in our family and our bloodlines. But he foreknew that time, that place, whenever we surrendered, you and I surrendered to Christ and became his disciple, became his servant, and now he could use us in the lives of other people. Again, there's a purpose and plan and God's timing for why he does everything. So again, I say, there could be a generation behind you and your family. There could be those that you're associated with in your circle of influence. Even if you ran the streets, you have to know that God knew. And he said he's in control of all those things that we went through. That when some of the stuff we had to go through because of what he wanted to do with us, in us, and through us. So we had to go through the whatever, the women, the girls, the drugs, the alcohol, the running the streets, the stealing, the robbing, all those things that we did before Christ. Some of us had to go through it. Our families, whatever family you came from. And came from a whatever. You know, we talk about dysfunctional families and stresses and neighborhoods and communities we lived in. But if you made it through, there was a reason. Because now you have a testimony of what God can do because he has done it. And now with all the things he goes through is to make us who we are. And then when we become born again, believers, all those experiences, all those things we've learned, that now we can speak into the lives of some people who would only hear it from us because of where we came from. So I always tell folks we should never be ashamed of what we've been through and what we came through because it was God ordained. I know people don't want to hear that, but it was God ordained. And now that you are a confessed Christian and a man of God, God's going to use your experiences and lives. Once you are conformed into the image of him, become his disciple, become a man of God, he's going to use your past experiences speaking to the lives of others, to save others, to pull others out of that same thing that you survived, that now you need to speak the love of God and the word of God that might pull them out, and then that God can use them. You know, it's something I talked about it last week, but, you know, we went to visit a Bible museum in D.C., and there was an exhibition about Billy Graham. And one of the things they talked about, who was Billy Graham's pastor? Who evangelized Billy Graham that God would end up using him? And who those who evangelized T.D. Jakes? Who evangelized any of the scholars and teachers that teach and preachers, you know, that are quote-unquote, you know, well-known, someone had to evangelize them with the Jesus Christ, with salvation, that they might believe, and then they might believe and want to tell someone. And again, your pastor, those that you go to church with, how did they hear? The ones you're in fellowship with, those brothers that are in your circle, they heard Christ from someone that now they're in that place where God is using them. They're in your circle. They encourage you. Your pastor, your elders, your all those men speaking to your life through the word of God that you're in fellowship with, that you're connected with. Because we all, again, we all come from different backgrounds, but we are called now unto one faith and one family, and it's the family of God. Amen? Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and I thank you for joining us today. If you called in today at 646-668-2636. When you press 1 on your keypad, you can join the conversation. Those of you who are listening online at www.blocktalkradio.com, we thank you for joining us this morning. And I ask that you continue to encourage and support us. Amen? So we're going to go now. God has been watching out for me from the beginning. He's been watching out for us from the very, very beginning. And that's what we need to understand, that God is known as, again, he's omnipresent, all-knowing. God has always existed. He knew us before our parents knew us, before our grandparents knew our parents. He knew every human being, every life that was going to be created. So he knew us. So he had a plan. He was watching out for us. As I was saying earlier, we go back to, you know, God understood and knew everything you went through. So nothing that you went through was a surprise. And he knew that you was going to make it out. He had a plan for you to make it out, however that might have been. Again, I say this, it doesn't necessarily mean you had to have a perfect life and go to school, go to high school, graduate from high school. Some didn't graduate from high school. Some went to jail. Some dropped out of high school. Some had to work. Some had different careers. Brothers went to the military. You know, we all have different paths in life, but God ordained and knew each one because, again, he was watching out for us. Some of us didn't die. The fact that we just did not die when we should have, that we didn't get heart disease, cancer, whatever, diabetes, all the diseases that people died from, you didn't, because God was watching out and he has a plan for our life. And that's the simplest way I can say it. If you're in the sound of my voice today and you're hearing me, God has a plan. You made it to this day. You made it to 2018, you know, because you, if we look back, I'm a child of the 60s. I was born in the 60s, raised in the 70s, came to maturity in the 80s and 90s. So thinking 2018, we didn't even comprehend it. And we look around at what the things that are going on, not the crazy, but just the technology and the way that lives are so much different. But God knew, and he was watching out for us, that he would have an opportunity, even for me, to be on the radio program talking to you on the internet. I was a child, we didn't have internet. We had phones. We had a phone with a rotary phone. Now we're walking around with computers in our pocket. Technology that we have in a cell phone is equal to technology that they had, I don't know, think of any time. Well, let's go back to, when we sent men to the moon, the computers they used for those calculations. There's more of that in the pockets in our cell phones that we use now, and everyone has to have one. We take it for granted. But anyway, understand that God is all-knowing. He's been watching out for you and your life every day. So don't think, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you came from and where you've been, that God wasn't watching out for you. You know, we get into that false sense that everything has to be good and go well to be blessed by God. But that's not what it is. We're blessed by God because God has seen us. God has saved us. We come to the knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. We accept it by faith, his death and resurrection, and now we believe that God is, that we are his sons, and we are his sons and daughters, and that God now is going to use us to continue to spread his gospel. Again, that's what we're called to, evangelize the lost, minister to the sick, help the homeless, help the children, the widows and orphans, and minister to a world, be light in a cruel and dying, sinful world. Amen. So in the beginning, let me go real quick to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I just want to go there and just share a word with you, that the word of God would sink deeply in connection with what I'm saying to you. But I just want to encourage the brothers out there listening. Encourage your heart. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 19. It says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." All right, brothers, that's a word of encouragement. No matter what you're going through in the tests and trials you go through, depart from iniquity, depart from sin, depart from going back from where you, the things you used to be, no matter how hard it gets. No matter how hard it gets, don't go back. Don't turn back to the sin. And then understand how God called us to live. We are filled with the fruit of the Spirit. There's gifts and talents in each of us that God wants to use to, again, advance his kingdom, to edify the body, encourage one another, and to show and glorify him in this earth, also in our own worship. So going back to what you used to do, you know, and what you used to be, you know, because it's getting bad, because people, you know, let me say this, you know, people are people. But we cannot let people and the things that people do move us, take us off of God's purpose. Some things we have to learn to endure, and that comes with maturity. That comes with knowing who God is, knowing what God's word says, and be able to separate ourselves, giving us wisdom and discernment. And to be a husband and father, without wisdom, knowledge, and discernment, it's going to be a hard road, because you're going to have to make choices and decisions. And it's not easy, because if we look around this culture today, we look around, we see that there's men stepping out of place and out of their roles because it got too hard, they got discouraged, they didn't have any foundation, they didn't have any tools, and it was easier to just walk away. And that's what we have to look out for. And that's what we have to encourage our brothers. And this is why here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we always encourage men's ministry, a time when men come together amongst men to deal with and talk about past the superficial, about the issues that are challenging them. Because I've been in church since the 90s, and I've seen marriages and men do things, but yet confess to be Christians, walk away from families, cheat on their wives, adultery, fornication, all these things, but yet confess to be Christians. And this is why, because they live in secret and double lives. And it's easy to live a secret double life when you're only around certain people 2 hours a day and maybe a Bible study, or you'll go out, you know, when it's good and have simple, superficial relationships, superficial conversations, not holding each other accountable. No one in the lives that holds them accountable, asking the questions, because they don't allow nobody in. And this is not where we are called to be as men of God and as a church and as a fellowship. We can't say we're a fellowship and we're not looking out for one another and encouraging one another and being there. And again, and this, and also this comes back to what we say about men. We choose who we friend. We're going to choose who we trust. But do we on purpose seek to have someone who's going to hold us accountable? Someone in our life that we can go to. Someone in our life that knows the struggles and can pray with us and help us through. Or do we just stay, want to be a long ranger, make it look good to everybody, as long as we got a new suit, a tie, and some pair of shoes, but we have superficial conversations about sports and other things, and not what's going on and what I'm struggling with, and why I'm angry at my wife, and me and my wife are not getting along, my kids upset me, my job is terrible, and I'm being challenged every day until we actually blow up and do something that's out of the character of God, and that's what he's called us to. So we are sealed. You know, he's on there. Again, we talked about being sealed in that scripture there. It said that God stands having his seal. The Lord knows those who he has, and that everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God knows us. That's our intimate relationship. We have to build that intimate relationship through the Holy Spirit, through his word, through his prayer, through fellowship. God has known us. He owns us since he chose us. And he, and our lives are to pursue holiness and to pursue a deeper relationship with him. Because the God, even for those brothers out there who was raised in the church, and I've been in the church, I've been a pew baby, that doesn't mean anything. Because, again, if you haven't grown in your faith and understanding of God since you were raised in the church, do you still have a childlike faith, or do you have a man faith? Do you have a faith where you know you can step out in God? Do you have a faith where you know where it is that needs strength and submission? Or did you raise up in prideful, arrogant, and think now you smarter than all the elders, so you think you need to start a church or do something? Or do you know how it is to be under submission, be covered, to be able to have something to speak into your life and guide and direct you? Again, these are questions we don't have to ask. We have to look in the mirror, look at our lives, and determine what kind of man we want to be. And are we being that man that God is going to be pleased with? Amen? Because again, our ultimate goal in this Christian walk is to stand before Jesus Christ and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So no matter what you do, are you living that life? Are you being effective? Are you doing what God's really called you to do? Are you doing what's comfortable and convenient and makes you look good? Amen. That was an on-purpose pause. Thank you. We're going to move on. Again, God has been watching out for me and for you from the beginning of time. From the beginning of our life, God has been watching out for us. He knew exactly when. You know, again, we go back to scripture. God knew David before he was king. God knew Joseph before he was even born. God knew Christ. Christ was 30 years on the earth before he came out to do 3 years of ministry. He knew all the disciples, where they were, when he was going to call them, how he was going to use them. He knew Judas was going to betray him. These things are not a surprise to God. He knew Elijah. He knew Abraham. Again, he called Abraham out of a family to separate him and build his own people. Moses, 40 years of Pharaoh, 40 years in the wilderness, and then 40 years of the people trying to get them to the promised land. God knew that all these things were going to happen when Moses was first dropped in the river in the basket by his mother and sister. So, again, when we go to the Word of God, we see that God knows us. So he knows right where you are right now. He knows what you've come through and what you've been through, and he also knows what he's going to use you for down the road. So I encourage you, brothers, to stand in there. Don't give up. Continue to press. Continue to be obedient. Continue to study, pray, read, and in fellowship. And you never know how God's going to use you for the next season of your life. Amen? Amen. I'm going to go to my next scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 3. And the Word of God says, "But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him." God knows you. If you love God and you're sincere in your confession of faith, you're sincere in the love and passion and understand what Christ has done for you, what God has done in sending his son to die for you to redeem him back, he knows you. He knows your heart. You know, that's this cliche, and even it's a joke sometimes now. We took folk tell people, but God does know. God knows your attitudes. He knows your motivations. even when you're in sin and you're prideful, when you do things out of pride and recognition, God still knows. Doesn't mean he's not going to use what you're doing to bless someone else, but he knows why you're doing it. So you get no credit for it. I like to say that. You've done a lot of work, but God's not seeing any of it because your heart's not in the right place. The word says, but anyone who loves God, his love is known by him. So he knows the motivation in your heart, the sacrifices you're making, even for pastors, elders, deacons, folk who are doing things to keep ministries, keep fellowships going and ministry to the behind the scenes. God knows them. So we have to be men, and that's, we're not always going to get patted on the head, patted on the back, or our name called out. But are we faithful to the thing that God has called us? Because God's going to speak to us. And what I always like to say to brothers is, you know, when you get to a certain place in maturity, you have to be a producer and not a consumer. You have to be a producer and not a consumer. What do we do? What are you doing? Every man that's listening to me this morning, what are you doing in support of your ministry? What are you sacrificing? Or are you the 2-hour, 3-hour a week Christian? Are you the fair weather Christian? Are you the fair weather Christian man? It has to be a crowd. Everybody has to know what you're doing. You have to be connected with, you know, you can't be you one and two guys. It's got to be, you know, you need a bunch of guys for you to think you need to come together. And who's in your circle? We all have circles. We all have crews and gangs and fellows and brothers we hung out with as we was coming up in neighborhoods in the body of Christ. Who are those men that you're hanging with out now who know you, who pray for you? You know, I remember there's a thing on Facebook that goes around a picture every now and then. It takes 6 people to carry you out in the casket. So who are those 6 men right now that's helping carry you through life? You at least have 6, because, you know, you need at least 6 on your coffin, the pallbearer. When can you name 6 men that you trust, believe in, and that are in your circle? And whose circle are you in? Who are you pallbearer for? Who are you coming alongside for to encourage and strengthen? So God is watching. God has been watching. So if you love God and you know God, God knows you. Amen. Amen. So today, again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And today we were talking about, I am a man known by God as I know him. And we were sharing and encouraging you to be known by God, that God has known you and cared about you your whole entire life from the beginning, no matter what you've been through and where you came from, who your parents were, what neighborhood you were brought up in. God has known you all this time. God has been watching out for you from the beginning to get you to this place, to get you to hear the gospel, to know the gospel, to be used by him, to be light and salt. Again, God has created us all for purpose. God has created us to reach someone for Jesus Christ. And God has cared for me as a son from day one. You have been his son. From the day you confessed your faith in him, you are now his son. You're joining us with Christ. And God is continuing to call you to be just who you are called to be, and to use you the way he sees fit to use you. Amen? So again, I just want to encourage the brothers out there. I just want to share, just take this time out this morning to share a little bit and encourage you. Hopefully something was said that might encourage you and continue to help you to continue to press forward. Okay, amen. In closing, I just want to remind you of the Coalition of Ministries to Man presents Man Up on Saturday, October the 20th, Strength and Submission, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're going to be gathering at 6716 Governor Ritchie Highway in Glen Burnie, Maryland. You can register online at PayPal. You can call us at 443-591-3504 or email us at rejoicetv@gmail.com. We'll send you the PayPal link. We'll get you registered. And we encourage you to come out and join us and be part of the gathering. We're going to have them asking for a $20 donation to cover lunch, and also the toolbox of resources we're going to be giving out. We're going to have a lot of giveaways, door prizes, and we're going to just send the brothers out preparing to be better men, being better husbands, fathers, and sons, to be able to lead in the church, in the community, and in their homes. So God bless you. Continue to pray for me, and I'll continue to pray for you. Amen.
so much down through the years. It seems that all I find here lately is a face so full of tears. I search each dark and empty place, the peace I use.